There's so many things to be thankful for. We ought to be able to just spout them out. Praise the Lord. We're singing that song there, and just about every hymn book I've ever seen always references these verses here, or at least one of them, but 1 Corinthians 15:57 and 58, when with victory in Jesus. And it says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And that is where we get the victory. Amen. And by the way, the context of this, if you're familiar with the book of 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15 is dealing with the resurrection. And that's our ultimate victory right there, is going to be our resurrection. And it says then that we are to thank God because He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And because we have that victory, verse 58 says, and that's what's quoted in our songbook here, of both verses 57 and 58. But verse 58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, because of all that God's done for us, because He's going to give us a resurrected body, we're not going to see corruption, all of that stuff, because of these amazing things that God has done for us, because He's given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ," and He's talking to a church, by the way. He says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, because of all that, be ye steadfast." Be steadfast. Unmovable. I mean, you don't move, you don't sway one way or the other. You're unmovable, you're steadfast, you're stuck. That's what it's talking about. Amen. Be ye steadfast, unmovable. Look at this next part. Always, not sometimes, not most of the time, but always abounding in the work of the Lord. Because God's given us the victory, because we will be resurrected one day, because of all the great things, because of the salvation He's given to us, because He died on the cross for us, because He loved us, because He offers us that mansion that we get one day, because He's done these things for us, because He's made us kings and priests. He says, hey, because of all that, my beloved brethren that I love, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord. You can get weary in the work of the Lord. You know that? You can get discouraged in the work of the Lord. You cannot see the results that you would like to see while you're in the work of the Lord. But we're told, because of the victory that comes through Jesus Christ, by the way, we're on the winning side already.
Amen.
Amen. We ought to get an amen right there, more than just one. There ought to be some amens, at least a smile. Amen.
Amen.
We're on the winning side already. Praise God for that. That's some shouting news right there. That's something to be thankful for. We're already on the winning side. My beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. Always abounding. Abound. Overflowing, exceeding. You're abounding in what? In the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord. The work that the Lord wants for us to do. Well, how do we know what that is? Well, He's talking to a church. It's the work He's given to a church. Well, what does that boil down to? That boils down to the Great Commission. That's what it boils down to. And ultimately, it's everything the Bible teaches. Because what's given in the Great Commission? Well, yes, but when we look at it, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe" what? All things. All things. All things. Whatsoever I have commanded you. All things. Not some things, not the things we like, not the things that encourage us, not the things that make us feel good.
Amen.
But He says all things, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now, let me stop right there and say, as Jesus said this, remember, He had just been crucified for preaching all things that please the Father. You understand that? They just crucified Him. Because He said, "I came to do the Father's will, to do what pleased the Father, not my will, but thy will." They crucified Him for preaching all things. Those that were supposed to be God's people, Those that took the name of being God's people, that was the Jews. Are you with me? Is everyone following me?
Amen.
This is what they said. We are God's people. For us today, we'd say we are Christians. We are God's people. That's the analogy I'm making here. They were supposed to be God's people, and it was God's people that crucified him. It was God's people that didn't like the all things that he taught. For various reasons. Mostly it was because of envy. Jealousy. Pride. But they didn't like the all things they were hearing. They didn't like being told they were wrong. To the point their envy drove them to murder. That's what happened. That's the circumstances that were there. But they just killed Jesus, who is giving them the Great Commission. We know he resurrected, and praise the Lord for that. That's our victory right there. Amen. But he told them, they just killed me for preaching all things. And now I want you to go ye therefore and teach all nations. You baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and you teach them to observe all things. You teach who's going to be God's people to observe all things, because they're going to be taught about salvation, repentance, and faith. Then they're going to be baptized. They're going to be my people. They're going to be brought into my body. And you teach my people to observe all things. And that's what it was. And this is what he's telling them, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Well, what's that? That's everything the Bible says, all that the Bible teaches, the work of the Lord, especially the Great Commission. That's what was given, that's the commission that was given to the church. That's the work they were set out to do, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to baptize them and to teach them to observe these things, to do these things. This is the work of the Lord. We're to always abound in this. We're to be steadfast and unmovable. We're not to be swayed with every wind of doctrine. We're not to allow that. We stand on the Word of God.
Amen.
And because we stand on the Word of God, we know that we need to be part of a New Testament church,
Amen.
Which is the pillar and ground of the truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. It's all surrounding the Word of God. And the Word of God teaches us where the truth is found. It's found in His church. This is where we need to be grounded in.
Amen.
So we're to be steadfast, unmovable. Guess who he's writing to? See, nothing in the New Testament is done outside of the New Testament church. Nothing.
Amen.
Nothing. He's writing to a church. And these are things that are implied just in the fact that he's writing to a church. If you're to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, where does he expect that to take place? That's right. In the church. Not some parachurch organization.
Amen.
Those are parasites. That means those parachurch organizations could not live without the Lord's true church. They suck life out of that. That's what a parasite does. It sucks life out of the host. If you get a tapeworm, it's going to eat all the food that you bring in. It'll die if you don't eat, obviously, because you'll die. It's dependent on you intaking food, and then it just eats all the food that comes into your body. It's a parasite. You don't want it. It'll kill you eventually because it takes all the nutrients that's coming in. This is why it's so important that we understand what the church is. We have got to get a grasp on that. We have to, because this is where God wants us working. This is where we're to be steadfast, unmovable, and abounding in the work of the Lord.
Amen.
This is what God expects of us. This is what God wants from us. And guess what? He expects every member to be a minister. Every single member to be a minister. Every single one of us has a function in the body, and every single one of us is to be steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. Every one of us. There's no exclusions in that. Not one exclusion in that for anybody. You know, I've seen some churches where the pastor pretty much sits out of everything and does nothing. And he expects all the people to do it. And I'm serious. There's churches out there like that where the pastor doesn't do stuff. He expects the people to go soul winning, but he doesn't do it. You know, he expects the people to clean and do all these things and whatever else, but he doesn't do it. Now, thank God that those are rare occasions that I've known men like that. But they're out there. There are Diotrephes that love to have the preeminence. And the pastor is to be in the lead. He is. That's what a shepherd does. A shepherd leads the flock. It's not like driving cattle where you push them. No, a shepherd's out in front, leading the flock, setting the example for it. And I strive to do that. But that's what needs to happen. Every member, whatever you think your position is here, doesn't exclude you from being steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. We're all on equal footing here, every single one of us.
Amen.
Every single member is on equal footing. And we're all to abound in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. Your labor is not in vain. It's not empty. When you're there serving God, we're doing what He's asked us to do, and we don't see the fruit that we are looking for. God reminds us. He says, hey, we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that purchased the victory. He got it for us. And because of that, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Your labor is not in vain. You know what labor is in vain? I didn't finish reading that, you notice. If you were looking at the scripture when I read it, you notice I didn't finish reading it. What labor is not in vain? What does it say? Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now what it says, did y'all read that? Or did you miss that? Were you not looking at it? Your labor is not in vain. The labor that's done in the Lord. What does that mean? What does that mean to have your labor done in the Lord? Well, again, I ask the question, who's he writing to? The church, to the saints that are in Christ.
Amen.
Right? They're in Christ. Here, I'll take you back just a bit. I'll let Paul's own words in this letter say it. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That one body is the Lord's body. It's His church. So it's in the Lord. So your labor that's not in vain is the labor that's done in the Lord. Now let me back up. See, we have to, it's important that we understand something. That for the Word of God to be effective in our lives, it has to be applied.
Amen.
We have to apply the Word of God so we know what it looks like in our life. We have to have that. The problem is, and everyone in here is guilty of it, myself included, is that we will typically not, and when I say typically, I'm talking like 95%+ of the time, we will not apply the Word of God to our own lives. Why? Because when you do that, that's when the rubber meets the road.
Amen.
That's when this thing gets practical, and now I'm expected to do something. I mean, it's fine to stand up and say, hey, our labor needs to not be in vain in the Lord, and just leave it at that. But what does that statement even mean? What does it mean to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord? I mean, what is the work of the Lord? What is it? Amen. But I mean, we could just say it's anything, but even within the context of that, yes, it is to reach the lost. It's the Great Commission. But to make the application of it is, where does that take place? That's right. In the church. In the church. See, that's making an application of what has been taught. These are things that are implied, but Paul doesn't necessarily say them. And because we are so inundated with a universal church mindset, we read it that it's to just any Christian that's out there. And every Christian out there is doing the work of the Lord. Wrong. Let me just back up and say, I use the term Christian in a generic sense, but I'm even misapplying it. But it's like a losing battle to try and have to explain what I mean every single time I say it. But to be true to the sense of the word biblically, based on what the Bible teaches, we're Bible believers here, right? We let the Bible dictate our beliefs. So based on what the Bible teaches, a true Christian is a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you have to further define that as well. Because a disciple means somebody that follows the Lord. So, if we're going to apply that teaching, and let me say this, once you start to apply the Word of God, this is when people get mad. People don't like the Word of God applied to their life. They don't. And here is where people get mad when you start doing this. Because then they say, well, you're talking about my family member. You're talking about my coworker. You're talking about my friends over here. And they don't like that. Maybe I'm talking about somebody here. When you start applying the Word of God, that's what happens. And people's feelings get hurt. And that's okay if your feelings get hurt. But here's what I challenge everyone to do. Stop. And say, are my feelings hurt because what Pastor said is wrong? Or are my feelings hurt because I'm not in line with the Bible? With what God says. And again, you don't have to agree with me. I'm not going to make anybody agree with me. I don't even want to make you agree with me. I want you to agree with the Word of God. But if you disagree with me, that's fine. But bring it to me. Bring your objections. It's okay. Bring them. But again, I say this fairly regularly, bring the Bible with it. Don't just disagree with it and get a poochie lip disease and be bitter and complaining, but you don't have no Bible to back up what you believe. Bring Bible. Say, here's where you're wrong, Pastor, this, this, and this, and we can sit down and discuss it. But make sure you do that. Make sure that's the attitude that you have, because you don't have to agree with me. But again, when we start applying the Word of God, this is when people get mad. So we're looking at what's a Christian. Well, we're told in the Bible in Acts chapter 11, the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Yep. The word Christian means Christ-like.
Amen.
That means then if I'm Christ-like, I do the things that Jesus did.
Right.
And if it was the disciples that were called Christians first, then that means I follow Jesus. I'm a disciple. I'm a follower of Christ. Jesus himself said, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. You're not just a disciple because you declare yourself one.
Right.
Your actions dictate that you're a disciple. Nothing other than that.
Amen.
Do you follow Jesus Christ? Well, how do I know if I follow him? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. All of them, not some of them, not most of them, all things. You say, what are you expecting? Perfection? No, but I'm expecting when we find out we're wrong, we say, oh, I haven't been following that. I need to change. That's what it means. Because we're teaching them to observe all things. I didn't know that. I'm supposed to follow that. See, we're being taught and to say, oh, now I got to fix that. I get it now. Now I got to follow that. Oh, I get it. It doesn't mean we're perfect. It means we mess up. And then we're shown from the Word of God and we say, oh, that's, oh man, God, I'm sorry. I haven't been doing that. But that's a disciple. Not getting mad and bitter over it because I don't like what Pastor said. I don't like what Kiko said. I don't like what Brother Josh said. I don't like what Brother Brad said. Well, honestly, who cares?
Right.
Who cares if you like it? If what they said is biblical, who cares? You have the problem.
Amen.
And your problem isn't with the preacher, whether it be me or one of those guys. Your problem is with God.
Amen.
Your problem's with God. Remember, when he told them the Great Commission, they just killed him. Why? Because he preached all things. They just killed him for it. Remember over in John, we were looking at that on Wednesdays. And he said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. You remember that? John 15, 16. If they hate me, they're going to hate you. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. They just killed him for preaching the truth. Who was it? His people. There's people in here. At times, are going to hate the truth. The responsibility for everyone in here then is to align themselves with the Word of God to repent and fix that. That's what the responsibility is, to align with truth. With truth. Not because you don't like the way it was delivered. Isaiah said, spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Cry aloud. Cry aloud. He's screaming it out, shouting it. Lifting his voice like a trumpet. You ever heard a trumpet really get off? And I could make everyone in here with a trumpet go, ah. You know, I mean, they used to use that to signal the enemy was coming, to signal war. Different movements within an army, they'd use a trumpet to tell, oh, this group over here, this regiment over here needs to do this now, because they blow a certain signal. It's loud. So just because you don't like the way the message was delivered doesn't matter. Are you a disciple? If you're a disciple, you'll receive truth.
Amen.
See, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Are you willing to acknowledge truth? That's what's going to show you if you're a disciple or not. That you will acknowledge truth. You will follow truth. A disciple will follow truth. If you're not a disciple, you're not going to follow truth. You're going to reject it. So, the application of the Word of God is what gets people upset. So we say, well, what's a Christian? And I start off by saying, you know, Christians will get upset over these things. Well, what's a Christian? Well, just because somebody's saved doesn't mean they're a Christian.
Amen.
Let me back up and say, just because somebody says they're saved,
amen,
doesn't mean they're a Christian. Because a Christian is somebody that is truly saved, that is also a disciple of the Lord. That is also a disciple of the Lord. You can be saved and not be a disciple.
Right.
Okay? So a Christian is somebody that is saved, that is a disciple of the Lord, meaning they follow what Jesus Christ says. They follow what His Word says. It's important we understand that. So, it said, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain, where at? In the Lord, right? In the Lord. What does that mean? Well, Paul defined it for us. Remember 1 Corinthians 12? You all remember that? 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. So that puts you in the Lord.
Amen.
So your labor is not in vain. Where at? In the Lord. In the Lord. So looking at that, that means he's talking to a church, he's writing to a church, and he's telling them the work you do, where? In the church, is not in vain. Because God doesn't have plan B.
Right.
God only has plan A, and plan A is his church. So all of us right here, every family member you've got, and you might say you're pretty proud and you're pretty narrow-minded. Well, you can call me proud if you want. It doesn't bother me. I know what I am. If you want to think I'm proud, then go ahead. How many of you in here, by a show of your hands, think that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven? Show your hands nice and high if you believe that. All right, almost everybody believes that. Okay, that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. So is it proud of you to stand there and to sit there and say that? Is it proud of you to sit there and say that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven? Are you proud because you think that? No, why not? Boom, that's it. It's not pride, it's truth. It's not pride. It's truth. And that's the same thing with this. What I'm about to say, it's truth. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So we got a bunch of family members here All of us right here that profess to be Christians. They profess to be saved. Maybe they are. I don't know. Okay, I'm not judging that right now. Maybe they are, maybe they're not. I don't know. Whatever. They profess to be saved. We'll take at face value what they say. All right, let's just assume they're all saved. But if they're not part of a New Testament church, are they following the Lord? Are they? We've got a few people that say no. What is everyone? What say ye? Are they? Are they following the Lord?
Absolutely.
Are they? Don't answer what you think I want to hear. Answer what you believe. I've worked with a lot of people. They were saved people. I have no doubt about it. And we would talk about the Bible. We would encourage each other. We worked in some pretty wicked places and we kind of ended up finding each other. And I was encouraged with the conversation we had, and I'm glad that I had that friendship. 100% glad I had that friendship. But at that time, not one of us was in the Lord. So the labor we were doing, unless we don't believe what we're told right here, was in vain. Obviously, some type of labor can be in vain, because he says we're to always abound in the work of the Lord. Well, where does the Lord work? Where does he want his work done? In his church. That's his plan A. He doesn't have plan B. He doesn't say, go ahead and work outside this, start another kingdom, rebel against my authority and everything that I've said. Go ahead, I'll bless that. No. He says, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's implying then that labor outside of that can be in vain.
That's right.
That's what that says. It can be in vain. Now, notice in this, I did not say that the people we know, the family members that we have that are not in the Lord, that are not part of a New Testament church, I did not say they're not sincere. Did I say that? No, that's what people are going to read into what I said, but I never said that. I was sincere when I was wrong and not in the Lord. I was 100% sincere, and I was sincerely wrong. Okay, amen. Hey, the Muslims that go and blow themselves up for their God, they're sincere, amen. I mean, that's sincerity, but they are sincerely wrong. I didn't say these people aren't sincere. I said in the biblical sense of the word, they cannot be called Christians. Now, there may be the exception that there's that one that is seeking truth and is following the truth as they find it. And God's leading that person and they're listening to him. And it's true that they could be a disciple and still not part of his church yet, because they're following on the path of truth that God is showing them.
Amen.
But for the vast majority of them, not the case. The vast majority of our family members and friends, the people that we love, that profess to be Christians, that's not the case. Because many of you know, as you presented truth to them, what did they do? Say that a little louder, Brother Brad. That's right, they rejected it. But they love God. No, they don't. No, they don't. Unless... You might think I'm wrong in that statement. Yes, you don't know my family member. They love God. Here's the question. Remember, the application is where people get mad. Remember, John 14:15. This was your Savior. Everyone here professes to be saved. This is your Savior. The one you say you're a disciple of. The one that died for you. The one that gave you victory, he said, if ye love me, if See, I love God. I love the truth that He lays down for us.
Amen.
I love it that God is black and white.
Amen.
With God, it's either this is right or it's wrong, period. That's how God is. It's either heaven or hell. Amen. You're either in His church or you're not.
Amen.
God is black and white. He even warned about this. He says, hey, with your lips you draw near to me, but your heart is far from me. He said, you're a bunch of fake, lying hypocrites. That's what He said. So again, back to our family that says they love God. They're sincere. See, here's where we have to not be emotional. And I mean this.
Amen.
Amen. Men included. This isn't just aimed at the ladies. Men included. We have to not be emotional. Remove ourselves from the circumstance, from it being our family that we love dearly. It could be brothers and sisters, could be parents, could be children. You have to remove yourselves from that situation and say, okay, let me look at this as God looks at this. Because I think, if I'm not mistaken, just maybe, God loves my family more than I do. Just maybe. And let me just ask, when you entertain the idea, is that at least a possibility? Amen. God loves your family more than you do. Just maybe, is that a possibility? Okay, then let's think like God.
Amen.
Is God going to take what someone says over what they do? Are they? See, some of you don't want to answer. Why is that? Why is that? You're already bucking at what I'm trying to say here. But look, if I'm wrong, man, get your Bibles. Prove me wrong. Get your Bibles. And again, I'm not talking about the rare exceptions, okay? Because everyone could say, well, there's this exception here and this one here. Yes, I get it. There is those rare exceptions. But I think most of the time what we want to do is we want to all make the exceptions for our family. Well, I know they're not what they should be, but they're saved. But they love God. No. We either believe what God said or we don't. And our Savior said, if ye love me, if ye love me, and He's talking to His church right there.
Right.
John 14, He's talking to His church.
Amen.
During the Lord's Supper, after, as they're headed on out. Okay, it's that whole time, that last night with them. This is when John 14, 15, 16, 17 even, I believe, are taking place. He's talking to His church and He says, if ye love me, prove it. Keep my commandments. If ye love me, you will show me because you will keep my commandments. You know what Jesus said right there? He says, I'm not buying what you say. You can talk the talk all you want. It means nothing to me. Doesn't mean anything. You know what? I think he's telling his disciples there. He's telling his church, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then right after that, he goes and tells them, about 43 days later, maybe 53 days later, no, 43 days later, give or take. He says, I want you guys to teach those disciples to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. You know what that includes teaching them? That if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. He's to teach disciples that, by the way. If you love me, keep my commandments. So what Jesus said right there is what people say is one thing, but what they do is what they really are. You can say it all you want. You can talk it all you want.
Amen.
You can know how to talk the game all you want. But what actually are you?
Right.
By your fruit you shall know them. Hey, what's coming out? What do you live? What do you live? See, always abounding in the work of the Lord. As much as you know that your labor is not in vain. Where? In the Lord. So we've got family that says all these things, that they love Jesus, but they don't keep His commandments. Maybe people in here say they love Jesus, but don't keep his commandments. See, now are we gonna listen to their words? But they say it. They say it a lot. They say it loud. They say it good. Or are we going to listen to their actions? Because that's what God said to do. That's what God said to do. So we can have a lot of family say stuff, a lot of friends say stuff. Could be a lifelong friend. Maybe it's been a friend you've known for 30, 40 years. Grew up as children together. Say, I love this person. They mean so much to me. They're like a sister to me. They're like a brother to me. It's like a dad to me. And they say they love the Lord. But as you presented truth to them, they reject it. Well, you know right away they're not a disciple and they don't love the Lord. At the very least, if they're saved, they're not a disciple and they don't love the Lord. And the labor that they do is in vain. That means the family we got that rejects the New Testament church, the teaching of the New Testament church, all the labor that they supposedly do for the Lord is in vain. All of it. All of it. Well, what if they're using the Word of God? That's God's Word. God says, my Word will not return unto me void. That's God. You know you're hitting something when it's quiet. This is truth, what I'm speaking to you. We have close family, dear family that we love, that they're not in Christ. Their labor, if they do any for the Lord, is not done in the Lord. They're not steadfast and unmovable. They're blown about with every wind of doctrine there is. They don't know what they believe. And we either believe the truth or we don't. And we've got to start recognizing that just because we have family that says they love God and can talk the talk and can bring up Bible verses and stuff like that, if they're rejecting the New Testament church, they don't love God.
Amen.
They don't love God. They're not following Him. They're rejecting Him. They're rejecting the Lord. They're denying Christ. And if you've shown them these truths, and I get it, it may take some time to teach them, but you know when you talk with family if they're receiving what you're saying or if they're rejecting it. You know what? I'm not saying they got to get all of it right now. None of us are like that. We have to get it and maybe chew on it for a while and then, okay, that is right. That is what they're saying. And we grow. But you know when you've spoken with family, friends, that they're just like, oh, no, I don't believe that. And some of you have family that call us a cult. That tells you right there they despise the church of God.
Amen.
They despise the church of God. They don't love God, period. They're not a disciple. I don't care what they say.
Yep.
And some of you, that's going to be a hard pill to swallow. But you're either going to side with truth or you're going to side with error. And you pick. You want to walk in darkness or you want to walk in light? You get to choose. Amen. Praise God. We get to choose.
Amen.
But man, when we get it right, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory. Amen. It's talking about our resurrection, eternal judgment. Amen. Amen. When we follow God, we get a better resurrection.
Amen.
Amen. We get to be kings and priests. Amen. Talk about a mansion. He's built for me up in glory. No, no, no. That mansion will be here. The governor lives in a place. Our governor, every governor lives in something. They call it something. They got a name for it. You know what they call it? Well, let me stop right there. What does a governor do? It's in the name. Amen. He governs, right? A governor governs. And the governor lives in a place. Does anybody know what it's called? It's in every state. Bing, bing, bing. The governor's mansion. the governor's mansion. What do you know? Jesus told his church, I go to prepare a place for you. Got a mansion for you. What? A place to rule and reign. What? Those that are steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. The work that the Lord gave. Where? The labor that's done in the Lord, in his church. Amen. Anything outside of that? No. No. You say, well, I don't understand. That doesn't make sense to me. It's a good thing you're not the judge then. God's going to be the one that decides all that stuff. All we know is he says, do it in the Lord. Do it in my church. That's what we do know. Say, well, wait, what about this where the disciples saw somebody doing work in Jesus' name and Jesus said to just let them be. Amen. He didn't say join them. He said just let them be. If they're not against us, if they're not against us, then they're for us. So just let them be. But he didn't say, go join them. What they're doing is right. He didn't never said that. He said, you could join them. It's just as good as with me. He didn't say that, did he? What did he say? Just leave them alone. You keep following me. That's what you do. Be a disciple. Be a disciple. God said, I'll deal with that. Don't you worry about it. See, God's the judge that's going to figure all that stuff out. Amen. Well, what about all these ministries? I mean, you've got like even all these things that call themselves churches. Even they call themselves Baptist churches. What about them? Are they, you know, is their labor in vain? According to the Word of God, it is.
Amen.
How dare you say that? You're so narrow-minded. Praise God, I'm narrow-minded. Amen. Amen. Just like the Bible says we should be. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know what? We need more preaching that says stuff like that. Stops apologizing for the Word of God. You ought to be narrow-minded.
Amen.
Amen. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to life everlasting, and few there be that find it. It's a straight gate and a narrow way. Amen. Amen. Not everything out there that calls itself Christian is Christian.
Right.
If it's not in a New Testament church, it's not Christian. Amen. It's not. Doesn't matter who's a part of it. See, here's the thing. We like to recognize, the Pope, man, that guy's wicked. That guy's Antichrist. He's evil. Joel Osteen, stinking wicked heretic. How about the wicked heretics that have the name Baptist?
Amen.
Amen. How about their evil deeds? Huh? How about them? Can't say that. Those are our Baptist brethren. Not if they reject truth, they're not. They might be our part of the family of God, but we're to mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned and avoid them. That's what we're told to do. If a brother walketh disorderly, note that man and have no company with him.
Amen.
You don't want to walk according to the Word of God? I'm not going to have company with you. Why? You'll rub off on me.
Right.
You'll rub off on me. I don't want to be an error like you. Yep. I don't want to be corrupted by your error, by your leaven. By your false doctrine? Why would I want that? I'm going to mark you and avoid you. Why? Because I'm not strong enough. That's why. So I am. No, you're not. You don't believe God's word then. You don't believe God's word. Plain and simple, you don't believe God's word. I can hang out with heretics. I know my Bible. It'll corrupt you. There's too many case histories, too many case studies you can look at and see that people have been corrupted by false doctrine. By just lighten up a little. You're so harsh. You got to be more accepting. Says the sheep to the wolf,
let him in.
The wolf dressed in sheep's clothing.
Soften up a little. Judge not. You're unloving.
You know, people sometimes don't like the sarcastic tone that I take. Using that effeminate voice. They don't like that sarcastic tone. They say, you shouldn't be like that. You should be more like Jesus. I should show up with a whip one day, man. I'm telling you.
Amen.
I ought to be more like Jesus. show up with a whip, just start running, chasing people, hitting them with a whip, that corrupting, polluting the Lord's truth. Because Jesus did that, didn't he? How about Elijah? What did he do? I wonder if he was sarcastic at all. Was he? We don't like Bible examples, do we? It's like, man, there's some examples of people in the Bible being sarcastic. We don't like that, do we? What did he do? He started laughing at those false prophets.
Yep.
He started mocking them. He said, hey, louder! Maybe your God's asleep! Louder! Laughing at them.
Yep.
And there's 800 of them, and it's just him by himself. And all the people there are, they're like, freaked out, guaranteed. They're freaked out. They're like, man, Elijah's talking to them like that. He shouldn't have said it like that. He should have been more like Jesus. But there he is mocking them, making fun of them. Who? The heretics.
Amen.
The heretics. I wonder why John the Baptist got his head cut off. He shouldn't have been so straightforward. He should have just toned it down a little bit. Come on, guys. He should have, right? That's what today's Christianity says. Because people don't like truth. I like the message Brother Potter preached at our camp meeting, The Time Has Come. Because it's true. See, Paul said the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But they're going to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. He's warning Timothy. What is Timothy? What was Timothy? Somebody help me other than Brother Brad. He was a pastor. Next time, other than Brother Brad's wife. I'm just kidding. You heard him. He was a pastor, right? So what was Timothy being warned about? The time will come when they who? The heretics, the Roman Catholic Church, the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Joel Osteens. No, who would Timothy be speaking to? Who was the they that Timothy was told about? Somebody help me. Who is a pastor over? Who does a pastor lead? The church members. Thank you. The people within his congregation. Right. That's the time will come when they will not. Go ahead and turn there. Let's go to 1 Timothy 4 so you can see it. Because I don't want somebody to say, you're taking that out of context. So let's look at the context. Sorry, not 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Forgive me for that. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. What does he charge Timothy to do? To do what? To preach the word. I wonder where that takes place. For a pastor. I get it. There's lots of venues, but he's speaking to a pastor. These are the pastoral epistles. He's telling them how to keep order and in the church. So I wonder what he means when he says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Who would get doctrine? Who would a pastor give doctrine to? Not just the message of salvation. That's not the context here. You're right, the context is his church. That's who he'd give doctrine to. He'd give doctrine to his church, and he said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long doctrine. So he's talking to Timothy about a church that Timothy's pastor in Ephesus. Or whatever. It doesn't have to be that. It could be the next church. Any church you're a pastor of, Timothy, you need to preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. You know what? You just preach it when they receive it and when they don't.
Amen.
When it's in season, when everyone's like, oh, this is so great. Yay. And when they're like, just preach the word. That's what he's talking about. When they don't like it. When they go behind your back, Timothy, and start gossiping. And they start tearing you up and what you're saying. You just preach the word. You just keep preaching it. When they're patting you on the back and they say, that's great, I love it. Timothy, great job, Pastor. Love it. Wow. Just keep preaching the word. Just keep preaching. No matter which way it's going, you just preach it. Why? For the time will come when they, again, who's the they? That's right, church members. Church members. Church members. When they will not, look at it, verse 3, look at it. Look at it. Don't take my word for it. Look at it. See it in black and white that the Lord said this. This isn't Pastor Pineda saying this. This is what God says. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They won't endure it. They won't receive it. They won't listen to it. They'll take doctrine. That's right. Just not sound doctrine. They're going to reject it. Again, who's the they? Is it out of context? You help me. Who's the they a pastor is going to preach to? That's right. And he's saying the time will come when they. And you might say, well, there's pastors too. Yeah, but we're not talking about that. We can go to Acts 20 and look at that and the warning that the pastors are going to be corrupt and are going to come in as wolves and all that. We could look at that. We're not talking about that right now. We're talking about a preacher, a man of God that's doing what God wants. And he's being exhorted here. Here's what you need to do. He's not being more than exhorted. He's being given a solemn charge from heaven. The God of heaven is coming to every single preacher, and you young men that are going to be preachers, you better listen up to this right here, because this is a charge from heaven, from heaven's throne, coming down to you, saying this is for you right here. You don't ever get this out of your sight, out of your mind, out of your thinking. It doesn't matter what anybody in here thinks. You preach for me. Amen. You preach what I bid thee. Amen. Not what anybody else says. You preach what I tell you. And that's Jeremiah, how that turned out for him. When he was thrown in a pit of miry clay up to his chest and left there to die as the city's being sieged. And only one person remembers him. One person remembered the prophet, the man of God, the preacher. So we got to get him out of there. We can't let him die there. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. Book after Jeremiah's Lamentations, lamenting, lamentable. You ever lamented? You just weep so much, it just sobs and noise come out. Because you're so brokenhearted. That's Jeremiah over his people, over their rejection of what God says, over their unwillingness to repent of their idolatry and their sin and the judgment that's coming upon them. And he weeps and he's brokenhearted over the fact that they won't get it right. You ask him what it means to be preach the word and be instant in season and out of season. Because the time will come and they will not endure sound doctrine. Who's the they? The church members. They're not going to endure it. They won't endure sound doctrine. That means if we understand this contextually, that's speaking of possibly someone in here. Hopefully not. But the context is it's to a church. The warning's given. The time will come. That's yet future from when this is written. Let's fast forward to today. We want to say that that's the Joel Osteen crowd. That's the apostate, you know, Roman Catholic Church, and that's the Lutherans and all the Protestants and all these different sects that are out there. Sorry, that's not who it's talking about. Amen. Now, we could back up and say that at one point it was talking about them.
That's right.
Why? Because they came out from the truth. So if you take it back far enough, when they decided to not endure sound doctrine, it was talking about them. But it is no more. That's not who it's talking about. It's not talking about the apostates that have rejected what the Word of God says. And they just full-fledged into their own religion. Okay, it's not talking about them. Who's it talking about? It's talking about, well, Timothy's a pastor of a real church, right? A true church. He's preaching sound doctrine. So it's talking about those that are part of a New Testament church. You with me?
Amen.
Anybody missing what I'm saying? You following what I'm saying? See the context of it? We with that, everybody? Okay, so that's who he's talking to. He's saying the time will come. That's yet future. That means this could be us right here. This could be you sitting here right now. This could be my children sitting here right now. Could be your children. could be your parents, could be your brother or sister, could be you. The time will come when they, who the church members, shall not endure sound doctrine. They'll endure doctrine, but not sound doctrine.
Right.
The word doctrine simply means teaching. There's false doctrine, and there's sound doctrine. They won't endure sound doctrine, like the apostles' doctrine. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Okay, that's sound doctrine. Bible truth is sound doctrine. That's what he's talking about here. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. See, they're not going to listen to it. They're not going to take it. Why? I'm telling you, let me tell you now. Let's back up to where I started with all of this earlier. I said, when do people get mad? Application. When you apply the Word of God. Okay? That's when people start getting mad. When you say, Pastor, you're implying then that my family members that say they're saved but aren't part of a New Testament church, you're implying they don't love God. I'm not implying anything. That's exactly what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm not implying nothing. And it's not even me saying it. That's what the Bible says. That's what God says. Jesus said it. So your problem is not with me if you don't agree with this. Okay. If you don't like this, your problem is not with me.
Right.
Your problem is with God. You don't like what God said. You disagree with God. Therefore, you're in rebellion to God. And this is why Jeremiah lamented. Because he preached what God said, and the people wouldn't listen. They wouldn't receive it. They wouldn't take it. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They're not going to endure it. So what are they going to do instead? Since they won't endure it, they're not going to stay, Timothy, is what he's saying. They won't endure this. Endure means to put up with, I'm going to get through this. Endure hardness as a good soldier, the Bible says. Endure. You can get through it. Do it. Just stick with it. Don't quit. Don't give up. You got this. You'll get through it. Endure. Persevere. But they're not going to do that. Reminds me in John 6. When Jesus started preaching some hard things, that's what the people said. These are hard sayings. Who can bear it? And it says at that time that many of his disciples walked no more with him. Those that were following him, they were disciples, but they aren't anymore. You get that? You can be a disciple and stop being one? Why? Because what's a disciple? Someone that continues, or endures. And Jesus turned around to the 12 and he said, will you also go away?
Right.
Notice Jesus didn't chase them down either. He didn't beg them to stay.
Amen.
Did you notice that? He didn't beg them to stay. I have no doubt he was brokenhearted. No doubt. But he didn't chase them. He said, if you don't want it, you don't have to follow me. And God is using Paul to warn Timothy and everyone thereafter, us still to this day, that understand the time's going to come, they won't endure sound doctrine. The time will come when they will not. That means it's their choice.
Amen.
It's their will. The people, the members, make the choice that they will not endure sound doctrine. Notice it wasn't Timothy making them. Notice it wasn't the message Timothy was preaching. It wasn't Timothy's fault for saying what God told him to. Remember, he had a solemn charge from God. God says, you preach the word.
Amen.
Remember, teaching them to observe how many things? Most things, unless it offends somebody in the congregation, then don't. Nope, teaching them to observe all things. All things whatsoever I have commanded you. Timothy was doing what God told him to. And that's what every pastor should do. That's a whole other issue we could deal with. Corrupt, apostate, hirelings. Okay? That don't do what God says. That's a whole other topic. We're not dealing with that right now. We're dealing with a faithful preacher that does what God says. And notice it's not his fault that the people won't endure sound doctrine. Let me ask. Some of you, you ever given advice to somebody? You can see that they're making bad decisions. Maybe they even ask for the advice. But you give some advice to this person. Maybe it's from your own experience. You're like, I've been there. I've done that. Please don't do this. This is how it's going to end. Don't do it. This is going to be bad. And have you ever done that and they reject your advice and get mad at you for it?
Yeah.
One person in here has done that? Okay. You've done it too? Okay. A couple of us, or three of us, or four. Brianna's maybe. Okay. Probably many of us have done something like that. Maybe not everybody. Now let me ask you this. The fact that they rejected your advice, was that your fault? What do you mean it wasn't your fault? Of course it was. You shouldn't have told them that. How dare you, you big meanie? All right, this is what we want to throw at preachers. It's what we want to throw at preachers. Uh-uh, it's not their fault. It wasn't Timothy's fault. What's he supposed to do? What's his charge? We in context? Just want to make sure. Are we in context? Janessa, are we in context? You sure? All right, maybe I shouldn't have asked my daughter. Of course she's going to agree with you. All right. Andrea, are we in context? Okay. His job was to preach the word. Was he faithful? Did he obey God? All right. The message is sent out. Now, where does the next responsibility fall? On the people that hear it, right? Who are the people that are hearing it? The church, right? The they. So Timothy was faithful to do what God had him do. He obeyed God. Timothy can stand back and go,
right.
Man, I did what God said. I'm good. Who's next? Who's next to do what God says? The they. The they that Timothy's talking to, that's whose responsibility comes up next. And it's their opportunity now to do what? That's right, to obey or disobey. It's their opportunity to do what God says. It's their choice now. It's not Timothy. He did his part. I'm preaching the word. Here it is. Choose you this day whom you will serve.
Right.
As for me and my house, the decision's made. Now you choose. Oh, Joshua, it was your fault, all those people that went into idolatry. That was your fault, Joshua. How dare you? You should have made them stop. How dare you, Joshua? Who do you think you are? Making those people go into idolatry, making those people sin, making those people reject God and what he says. Ah, you say, that's ridiculous. It wasn't Joshua's fault. So why do you blame the preacher today? Why do you blame the preacher today? Man, you're picking on us, Pastor. No, this is the people that are before me. I can't talk to Jeremiah's generation. If we were there, we could say, why did you ignore what the preacher said? Why are you blaming the preacher that you rejected God and went into captivity? Why are you blaming him? He just tried to warn you. He loved you enough to tell you the truth when everyone else was coddling you. When all these false prophets were telling you lies, coddling you in your sin, encouraging you to do wrong. That was for their generation. This is this generation. See, the applied word of God. Anybody ever seen a plane land? You ever watched? I worked at the airport, so I saw it all the time. All the time. If you've ever watched a plane land up close, I mean, I used to be like, I'd be like the runway's like right here, and I'm standing right here, and I get to watch the planes land. One of the coolest things, if you can ever do it at night, go to the airport and check out the F-16s as they take off. Man, they throw a big old flame out the back. It's cool to watch. But anyway, something else. I'm talking about a regular, you know, commercial jetliner. You ever seen one land? You ever notice when they hit down? Man, and if you've ever been on a runway, if you ever get to go on a runway and look at it, you'll see when you get down the middle, because they make them out of concrete usually. Some are asphalt, but that's for like lighter planes. They make them out of concrete for the big ones to come down on. And as you look on it, I mean, we know concrete's like whitish gray, right? I mean, it's a pretty light color, but you get out there and you start looking on the runways. If you ever fly, even you can look out and see it, and you'll see down the middle towards the beginning of the runway and the end. Because it depends on which way the wind's blowing. It could, this to what's the end today could be the beginning tomorrow, okay? But anyway, when you see those planes touch down, you see a big old puff of smoke come out. And it just shoots out. And what is it? It's when the rubber met the road. And man, there's some friction right there, I'm telling you. And it just lays that rubber down on the asphalt, man. When the rubber hits the road, it's real. And what I'm talking about right now is some rubber hitting the road, and it's real. This is what people don't like. You remember this. People don't like the application of the Word of God. You remember it. You remember it, and you remember it. People don't like the application of the Word of God, but above everything and anything else, that's what they need.
Amen.
That's your charge before God, is to preach the Word and preach it so it's applied to their life today, because that's what will help them. Anything outside of that doesn't help them. That's the garbage that's going on out in most churches today. There's no application of the Word of God, and it doesn't help people. What does it do? It just goes up to them, and it's just like, oh, they're there. Yeah, Jesus loves you. I'm not kidding. That's what most preaching does today.
Amen.
That's what it does. There's no application to help people right where they're at, to help them be godly where? In Christ Jesus. You know, at the airport, we had a whole crew that their whole job was, they had a specially built machine. And they would go out and they'd shut a runway down. And they'd go out on that runway. And it had built in, you know, high pressure washers built into it. Big old water tanks, big old vacuum. And they would go out on the runway. They'd shut the runway down. And they'd turn that machine on and they'd do the rubber removal. That head would just go back and forth. Big old vacuum sucking it all up as it's chewing it off, spitting off, tearing off that rubber, because the rubber hit the road and it got real. And that's what this is. When we look at this stuff right here, what the Bible says, the time will come when the church, will not endure sound doctrine. Why? Because they don't like when the rubber hits the road. They don't like the application of the Word of God. Why? Because it contradicts their life. Because it contradicts their life. It contradicts your life. Let me be more specific. It contradicts your life. So you don't like it and you get mad. Or that's the possibility. That's what the context is dictating. This is who's going to do this. It's going to be churches. True churches are not going to endure sound doctrine. They won't listen to it. They say, we're not going to hear that. Now, nobody, when they leave a church, is going to say, well, we're compromisers and we're not enduring sound doctrine, so we're leaving, you know, to a watered down church. Nobody says that, okay?
Right.
What do they say? Well, we just don't like Pastor. He's always negative. We don't like the way he says it. We don't like this. We don't like that. That's what they say. We're just not being fed there. It's funny, everyone else is. Interesting. Funny, everyone else is. Come on in. Everyone else is being fed, except the person or people that won't endure sound doctrine. Come on in, grab a seat. I'm glad you're here. There's those that won't endure sound doctrine. So because they won't endure sound doctrine, again, we're in the context of what this says, right?
Amen.
Anybody, have I left sound doctrine? If I left the context of what the passage says, it's okay, say it. But prove it. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but what are they going to do? But, man, you look in the Bible, that's a good study right there. You start going through the Bible and you start looking at the buts that God put in there. Man, they're good. I like the buts that God puts in there. It'll teach you something when you start studying those. Sometimes it's good. I like where Paul and Silas are in there and the the jail in Philippi, and they're singing at midnight. Man, they're singing praises, and then boom, God shows up, man. Doors bust open. Poof, chains fall off. Wow, what a miracle. Singing praises to God after they've been beaten for the faith. Here they are singing praises to God. Then the jailer wakes up, the man in charge, and he looks and he sees all of them, all the doors open, and he's like, oh no! And he knows what that means for him. They're going to kill him. Man, that's on his watch. He's responsible for them. If one of them gets away, it's his life. Don't sleep on the job. That's a good lesson right there, okay? But anyway, the doors bust open, and he goes in and he sees, and he's about to kill himself. You look at it. Acts 16, he's about to kill himself. He's going to slay himself with his sword. He's going to fall on his sword, kill himself. And the Bible says, but Paul, do thyself no harm. Paul cried out, don't do it. We're all here. Man, those buts. But Paul. But here's one on the other end. I preached a message on that. My wife's kind of giggling over there because I think she's thinking about this. And it was probably Anna because every time I'd say it, she would giggle because I preached it a few times. But I titled the message, Be a Butt for God. And when I'd say that, she'd be like, so that's likely why she was had that smile on her face over there. So back to the message here. 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But look at this. What does it say? But. So it's already negative. The time's going to come. They won't endure sound doctrine. That's a bad thing. Again, who's the they? Help me. The church, the people. So it could be us right here. When they will not endure sound doctrine. So it's already negative. They don't like what the Bible says. That's what that means. They won't endure sound doctrine. They don't like what the Bible says.
Right.
Let me phrase it another way. They don't like what God says.
Amen.
Because sound doctrine comes from God, doesn't it?
Right.
Okay, so the time's coming when they, remember, it's not the apostates like the Roman Catholic Church or the Joel Osteens or anything like that. It's not talking about them. It's not talking about the Lutherans. It's not talking about Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons. It's talking about a true New Testament church because that's Timothy's a pastor over that and he's preaching to them. He's going to preach to a New Testament church and God is warning him. He's saying, hey, the time will come when the church members will not endure sound doctrine. They're not going to listen to what God says. They're not going to receive what I say. They won't like me. They won't like my word. If you're preaching the word, instant, in season, out of season, reproving, rebuking, exhorting with all longsuffering and doctrine. What's that? Apply the word of God. Bring it right to where they live. Amen. Bring it right to where they live. Okay, that's what we're talking about here. So they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own what? Lusts. After their own lust. You know what just happened right here? You know what God just showed us right here? Y'all see it? I don't think so. Y'all see it? He just got to the heart of the matter. Just like with Gideon. We've been looking at Gideon, haven't we? When they cried out for help, God help us! What'd they do? What did God do? You remember? What did God do? Somebody help me. Amen. He sent a preacher. What'd the preacher do? Did he preach sound doctrine? He sure did, didn't he? What'd he preach about? That's right. The root of their problem. What was it? Idolatry. You know what we just saw right here?
Amen.
God got to the root of the problem. Look at it again. They're not going to endure sound doctrine. Why? Why won't they endure sound doctrine? He's going to tell us why. But after their own lust. Their own lust. Pride. Pride. Came down to pride. Pride was the problem. Pride. You know who originated that thing? Anybody? That's right. Isaiah 14. I will. will be like the Most High. You know what he's saying? This is what I want. This is my own lust. I don't care what God says. I don't care what God says. This is what I want. That's what these people, these church members are saying. You got that? It's a context. They will not endure sound doctrine. They say, I don't care what God says. That's what they're saying. They're not going to endure it. I'm not going to put up with that. I ain't listening to that. Who does that preacher think he is? I'm not going to listen to that. You know, we experience that on the street when we go to someone's house or something. You know what they do? I'm not going to listen to this. They'll say, get out of here. Or, I don't want to hear this. Or they'll slam their door on our face. What's that? They're not enduring sound doctrine. So I'm not going to listen to this. I'm not going to put up with this. Who does that preacher think he is to tell me that? Why? Because of pride. Let me give you another word for it. Idolatry. Idolatry. What else could it be? You tell me. They've rejected sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is from God. Therefore, if it's sound doctrine, God is saying, hey, this is from me. Right? Timothy, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is before God. Paul is saying, God gave me this. And I'm giving you this charge from heaven. God delivered it to me to give you this charge before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the message, Timothy. Preach the word. Preach what God says. So the person that says, I'm not going to listen to what God says. I'm not going to listen to the preached word of God. Do you know you can go through the Bible? A lot of lost people go through the Bible, read the Bible, and it never ever convicts them. Why? Because they don't apply it. Remember what I said earlier? 90 plus, probably 95% of the time, people will not apply the Word of God to themselves. You can read all about the idolatry that the Israelites went through and all the things that they did, all the sin in their life, and you can read through that. You'll be doing the same thing, and you will never apply it to yourself, and you'll be like, man, they shouldn't be doing that. They shouldn't be doing that. So preaching the Word includes applying it right where people live. This is the problems that are in our society right now. Let's deal with them. That's what it's saying. And take it further than that. A pastor needs to smell like sheep, okay? That means he's around sheep, so he knows the problems that are going on within a congregation. Every pastor needs to know that. All you men that are going to be preachers, you need to know that. You're going to pastor someday. You need to know that. You need to know your sheep. That means you got to be around them, so you have to know the issues that are going on if there's problems going on, and you have to deal with it. You got to preach on it to help people. To help them. Because a shepherd feeds people. It feeds them. So you got to take them over here. You say, no, this is the food you need now. This is the nutrients. This is the sustenance you need. This is the help you need right now. And you preach the word. So Timothy's being faithful to preach what God says. This is the message from God, in other words, then. The preaching, if it's according to sound doctrine, if Timothy's being faithful to what he's been called to, then he is giving God's message. So when somebody won't endure sound doctrine, what they've said is, I don't care what God says. I don't care what God says. So the next step they take is idolatry, it doesn't matter what it is. They've already rejected the one true God and they said, I'm going to make another God for myself. And we're told here who it is. God knew. God knows all. What does he say? But after their own lusts, they're worshiping the God of self. Oh, no, 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 I'm following the Bible. Then why are you rejecting sound doctrine? Why are you rejecting sound doctrine? Well, it's not sound doctrine. Then refute it.
Right.
Refute it then. That's what needs to happen. Refute it. Present your case why it's wrong. And if we're all disciples and we're all seeking truth, then we'll say, okay, I see what you're saying. Let's look at that. That's what needs to happen.
Amen.
But in my experience, that's not been what happened. Even when I was in something that wasn't a church and people disagreed with it, I never saw one person leave over a doctrinal reason. One person, let me back up. I've only seen one person leave over a doctrinal reason. Two I know of. I've only witnessed one. I've heard of a few others. But I've seen a ton of people leave churches. A ton. A ton. And it's always over hurt feelings. Why? Because they wouldn't endure sound doctrine. That's always what it's been over. Why? Because they're full of pride. Oh, no, how dare you say that? What does the Word of God say? If they won't endure sound doctrine and they leave, what does the Word of God tell us why they left? Help me, somebody. Am I wrong? You can speak up right now if I'm wrong. Seriously, if I'm wrong, somebody show me where. According to what this says, where am I wrong? Contextually, the Word of God says it. But they will not endure sound doctrine. For they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts. That's why it's pride. Pride is the only reason why. It's idolatry. That's why they wouldn't endure it, because they're idolaters of self. They have lifted and magnified self and their feelings and what they think is right and what they think the Bible says right above what God actually says.
That's right.
And I'm telling you right now, the people that do it, they will justify it in their mind.
Amen.
I'm telling you right now, they will justify it in their mind why they are doing it for biblical reasons when the absolute opposite is true. They'll justify it in their own mind. And they'll say, oh, it's for biblical reasons. We're not being fed there. We need to go somewhere where we can get fed. There's no children's ministry. They don't have anything for our teens. I mean, these are the excuses that people give. It's just not what it used to be. Well, hopefully it's not, because we're growing. Amen. We should all be growing. I mean, if we were what we were 2 years ago, man, we're not growing. There's a problem.
Amen.
Man, if your child stopped growing and just kind of withered away or just stayed right there at their state and didn't grow anymore, you'd be like, man, you'd be getting them to the hospital. You'd be like, something is seriously wrong with my child. They're not growing. They're not eating. They're rejecting what they're being fed. You know what that's like? You ever have a child, a sick child, and they just, they're throwing up. They're rejecting everything you feed them. Say, that's a gross picture. What do you think it looks like when someone won't endure sound doctrine? The faithful pastor's up here feeding them, preaching the Word of God. And they won't endure sound doctrine. You know what it's like? It's like they're getting the meal and they're going, bleh. That's exactly what it's like. A little too graphic, Pastor. That's what it is. You're rejecting the sound doctrine. You're rejecting the meal. You're throwing it up. There's something wrong. You're not healthy. You're not healthy somewhere. You'd recognize it in your own children. You'd recognize it in yourself if you were sick and started throwing up every meal and wouldn't receive the healthy food that you needed. You'd be like, something's wrong. I'm losing weight like crazy. This is not good. I got no energy, I'm getting weak, something needs to be fixed because something isn't right. But those that won't endure sound doctrine don't think they have a spiritual problem. It's the food isn't healthy. The food's not good. It's not a well-balanced diet. I'm telling you, man, let me give you a story here. Let's go back to 1944. Okay, we're in Europe. The war's coming to an end. U.S. Army goes in, and they, what's it called when they go into a concentration camp? Liberate. They liberate a concentration camp. And you know what those soldiers did? They saw those starving, dying people. Were malnourished. They had no food. I mean, they'd get basically water with some type of little bit of flavor, and they were fighting over it. I mean, you've seen the pictures of them just all malnourished, sucked up. You don't even know. They're like a walking skeleton. You don't even know how they could be alive. Lice and everything all over them, filthy, some of them half naked. They don't even have the energy to care that they're standing there naked. And you know what those soldiers did as they showed up? They didn't know any better. Those soldiers saw him starving. A lot of those soldiers started weeping, seeing that these are humans and they're treated like this. How can they live like this? So what they do, they started getting their MREs, their meals, and they just started giving it to them and giving it to them. And you know what? All those malnourished people, those people that didn't have the food and the sustenance that they needed, I've never read a story where one of them, I haven't read a story where one of them, not one of them, complained. They didn't even say, oh, there's onions in this. Not one of them. The food that was offered, they jumped all over it. And sadly, in that, before the doctors and nurses got there, a lot of those people, they didn't, the soldiers didn't know. They just kept giving them as much food as they wanted. And the sad thing is, as you hear some of the stories and the accounts of it, is that they were even fighting over it. And they're telling them, no, you'll have as much as you need. There's no need to fight, because they've gotten so used to having nothing. So they were taking it and hoarding it and trying to fighting people off away from them. And they were all like this because this is just how they lived. But the soldiers kept giving them as much food as they wanted. And some of them ate so much food that their stomachs exploded and they died, because they were so malnourished. They didn't care what it was. They just wanted the food. We'll recognize that need physically. But here's the deception, and here's what it really means. Again, rubber meeting the road. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God can know it. That's what the next verse says. God can know it. God knows. But our own heart can deceive us. And here's what happens with spiritually anemic people, spiritually weak people, people that have decided not to endure sound doctrine. They don't know that they're spiritually weak. They don't think they are. Why? Because they're all about themselves.
Amen.
No, you can't say that. Read it again. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Why? But after their own lusts. It's about pride. It's a pride issue. It's about them. That's why. And they won't see that they're spiritually weak and spiritually starving and spiritually dying. They themselves won't see it. They just say, I'm not listening to that. I don't want that food. That's the difference between the physically starving and the spiritually starving. Physically starving will eat stuff that'll kill you. Even if it's not overeating because you've been starved for years and then you get food now, you'll get so desperate you'll start eating things that will kill you. People have done it. People that are dying of thirst out on the ocean have drunken salt water to their own death because they're so desperate they just need it. But spiritually starving people will lie to themselves. Because at some point they said, I'm not going to endure sound doctrine. I'm not listening to that garbage. Who does this guy think he is, man? He gets up there and starts yelling and screaming. That mad look on his face. He doesn't even love us. He's not even loving. You know who doesn't love you? The sorry preacher that gets up and tells you what you want to hear. He doesn't love you.
Amen.
For me to get up and say what I'm saying right now, is me pouring my heart out to you. Because
yep.
I love you. Whether you like that or not. Whether you believe it or not, doesn't matter. You can judge my motives and say I don't love you. Go ahead. I can't stop you. But I know what's in here. And I know I'm telling you this because I love you. Because I want to help you. A hireling won't do that. A hireling's not going to tell you things that'll get people mad. Because what I'm telling right now will get people mad. If I was a hireling, I'd want to keep as many people here as we could. Man, the preaching the word has run off some good givers.
Yeah.
I'm dead serious about that. You don't know that, but it has. Some people that gave big bucks. Ran them right out. So if you think my motives aren't pure in this, go ahead, keep thinking it. I can't change your mind. They're not going to endure sound doctrine because of their own lusts, because they're full of pride and this is what they want. I'm going to do what I want, how I want. and they'll lie to themselves and say that they're doing the spiritual thing, and it's, you know, pastor's wrong in that. He doesn't know what he's talking about. How dare he? I'm just not being fed here, and blah, 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 and everything else, whatever the other excuses are. But it always comes back to, it's about me. For the person that won't endure sound doctrine. Why won't they do it? Because they're full of pride. And they've rejected it. So now, they won't even take the spiritual sustenance that's there for them. So what are they going to do? But after their own lust. So they're not going to endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, it's because of what they want. Here's what they're going to do. They're going to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Heap to themselves teachers. You know, any of you, how many of you like ice cream? I like ice cream. Okay. How many of you, when you get a scoop of ice cream, do you go for, you know, like the spoons you use to eat? You know, it's like a teaspoon, tablespoon, I guess is what it'd be called, maybe. Maybe you get a bowl of cereal, you know, you use that type of spoon to eat it, fits in your mouth and stuff. How many of you, when you're going to get a bowl of ice cream, do you go for one of those spoons and you just kind of... Does anybody do that? No, what do? You go for a big spoon. Man, I want that like solid ice cream scoop and spoon. The one with the funky shape where I can get in there and I can go over it and I can go back and I can go and it like rolls it. Man, when you're running along it, it rolls it. You know, sometimes if you really are like, man, I want this to be easy, but I want it to be good. You know, you're going to put it on an ice cream cone maybe, and a bowl's a little different, but let's say you're going to put it on an ice cream cone. All right, so you go get that scooper that's going to roll it, but what do you do first sometimes? Maybe you'll get some hot water, you'll microwave some hot water or something, and then you put that spoon in the hot water, and you let that thing get nice and hot. That way when you put it in that ice cream that's just come out of the freezer, just, man, and you just see that thing start rolling, and you're like, oh, yeah. And then you kind of just get a little more, and you start mashing it down, and you just... And then what do? You heap it on there. And I mean, you got stuff falling off the sides and everything. And, you know, it's because it doesn't catch everything perfect. So there's those little pieces that are falling off. So you heap that thing down. You're like smashing it down so it stays on the cone. And it's just heaped over it. It's like falling on your hand. Your hand's getting all dirty. You're trying to go around, you know, licking the edges to try and get those pieces that are going to fall off. But you heap it on because you want that. You're like, man, this is going to be good right here. Some of us know what that's like when you don't get mint chocolate chip and only one person does. You understand what that's like and how it can be that way. That was something that happened in North Carolina. We got some person that stole all the mint chocolate chip ice cream. It's like a once a year thing. Stolen. But you heap it on. Well, what are these people going to do that won't endure sound doctrine after their own lust? See, because they say, this is what I want. Man, because I want that ice cream, I'm going to heap it on. You know what? I might go back after. I might even, man, that one's on there, but I want two. I'm going to heap another one on. And now I got a double cone, double scoop. I'm going to heap it on because I want this. Man, I'm desiring this. This is me. And I want that ice cream. I want that mint chocolate chip ice cream. She won't even look at me now. I'm just kidding. But it's because I want it. This is what my lust desires. So I'm going to heap it on. Well, what are these people that won't endure sound doctrine? What do they do? They shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They're going to heap it on. They're going to heap it on. Just come on, just any of it, bring it. I'm going to listen to this guy, I'm going to listen to this one, this one, this one. I might listen to this lady. I'm going to just heap it on. What's it matter? I won't endure sound doctrine. Well, I know they're not part of a true church, but I know they don't have the doctrine of Christ and their deeds are evil, but heap it on. Let me just heap it on. Come on, bring it all. I want it all. They're going to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. See, there's a difference right here. Now, I'm not saying that a pastor's not to teach. Of course you are. I'm teaching and I'm preaching right now. Okay, there's a little bit of both. A pastor's to teach. He's to be apt to teach. He has to have that requirement. But there's some words used right here that God specifies some things. And he tells Timothy the charge from heaven is to preach the word. Now, those that are wanting to go apostate, those that won't endure sound doctrine, because that's what it is. When you won't endure sound doctrine, you're apostatizing from the faith. That's what it is. You've rejected sound doctrine, so you've chosen apostasy. You've chosen to fall away from the truth. Yet you hold to the profession of having the truth. So, God told Timothy to preach the word. But those that are going to apostatize, it says they're going to heap to themselves teachers. Teachers, not preachers. Because I can come in here and I can teach you a lot of things. The Bible says this, the Bible that. And a lot of times, that's on Tuesday nights, we have our Bible Institute. That's a lot of what happens. Sunday school is usually a lot of teaching. You know, we're looking at who is God, who is Jesus, and those things. And we're looking at the deity of Christ. It's a lot of teaching. I'm teaching you facts, and this is the things that the Bible says, and here in this location, this, and just different things like that. It's teaching. But preaching, that's where the rubber meets the road. You can do that in teaching too, but God made a difference here between preach the word and heaping to yourselves teachers. A teacher will tell you a lot of things about the Bible, and it may be good. I mean, there's some good teachers out there within Christendom, as you listen, you're like, man, that was a good truth. It is a truth. And the way they presented it, you're like, that was good. It doesn't mean that there's not gifted people out there that know how to teach well. But that's what the apostate's going to do. That's what the one who won't endure sound doctrine is going to do. They're going to heap to themselves teachers. Why? Having itching ears. Remember? Oh, you're amazing. God loves you. You can do it. Yes, you can. That's what they're going to do. They're going to heap to themselves teachers.
Yep.
Just tell me what I want to hear. I tried the sound doctrine stuff. I don't want that. Again, they're not going to say they're leaving sound doctrine to go to a watered-down version, to apostasy. No one's going to say that.
Yep.
Nobody says that. Come on. No one's a compromiser. Nobody. All right, nobody is a compromiser. I've never met anybody that says, I'm a compromiser. I left the faith because I want to compromise. I personally have never met anyone that says that. Maybe you have. I have not. But that's what's going to happen. That's what the one that won't endure sound doctrine will do. And where are they coming from? They're coming from a true church.
Yep.
That's what the context dictates. That's what the Bible says. They're going to heap to themselves. Just give me all the teaching I can get. Make me feel good about myself. Tickle my itching ear. Sugarcoat the preaching. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. See how heartbreaking that is? You know what God just said? There's no depths to which they won't go. When someone has rejected sound doctrine, there's no depths to which they won't go. So as we go back to where I started, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, he's talking to a church, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. What's he telling them? Be steadfast, be unmovable. Endure sound doctrine. Endure sound doctrine.
Amen.
For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain, where? In the Lord. Anything done outside of a true New Testament church is vain.
That's right.
And you're not working for the Lord, you're working against Him. You're setting up a rival kingdom.
Amen.
But all of this comes down to, do we understand what the church is? See, we got to be on a sound footing, on a sound doctrinal footing. The doctrine of Christ is foundational. If someone doesn't have that doctrine, we're not to be a partaker of their evil deeds.
Amen.
What are we to do? Endure sound doctrine. Endure sound doctrine. Be unmovable, steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And as we do that, praise God, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Why? Because He won it. He did it all. He just says, just follow me.
Amen.
Hey, just follow me. And you're on the winning side. All you got to do is follow me. He looks back and he says, will you take my hand? Come on. Let's go. You know what his hand is? It's a part of his body. He wants us a part of his body. An involved part of his body.
Amen.
A dedicated part of his body. A steadfast part of his body. An unmovable part of his body that does the work of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.